today on Life Talk.
He takes what the enemy meant for evil and he works it together for your good. He makes all things work together for the good of those who love God and are the called according to his promise. He's there to support you and bear you up under them and deliver you out of them. He will not leave you in them. When everyone else walks out, he walks in. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. Like it or not, trials are a part of the Christian life. That said, I have found it helpful to understand trials from God's perspective. God's Word encourages us to see our trials as mechanisms for spiritual growth, not as curses. In fact, it says that we will never be fully mature in our faith without trials. In today's message, we're going to take a look at three different kinds of trials. And I believe as we explore what God says about them, it's going to encourage us to see what God is working through them. I can't wait to share part two of the message, Three Kinds of Trials. Let's jump right in.
One of my favorite top 10 verses in the Bible is Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. What a great word. Now, we have three kinds of trials that are mentioned in this one verse. Three kinds of trials. And let me just tell you what they are. Now, he uses illustration or metaphor to describe the trial. So here's the metaphors. Waters, rivers, fire. Waters, rivers, fire. And both of those metaphors or words illustrate a different kind of a trial. And really, they grow in intensity. This is an escalation of trials in this verse. Waters, rivers, fire. And with every one of them, there is a promise attached. Something that God gives us that when we're going through a water, river, or fiery trial, he says, here's my promise to you. With the waters, he says, I'm going to give you my presence. With the water trials, I'll give you my presence. When you pass through the waters, I'm with you. With raging rivers, he promises boundaries for the trial. They will not overflow you. That's a boundary. That's the promise of a boundary. And then the fiery trial, he promises protection. You're going to go through fire, but you're not going to be burned. That's protection. It's not going to scorch you. So there you have it. Waters, his presence. Rivers, his boundaries. Fiery trial, his protection. Fire and water are used all the time in the Bible to describe calamities. Water because it overwhelms. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Fire because it consumes. So when the Bible writers are talking about going through a real calamity, they might say it was like raging rivers. It was like a water river kind of a trial. Or it was a fiery trial. And they use those illustrations all the time. Like David said in Psalm 66:12, David used both of them. He said, we went through fire and we went through a flood. There's both. Now, let me tell you what a waters kind of trial is. It is when it's hard going. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's when you feel like you're just trudging through difficulties that are hindering, that are slowing you down, that seem to be resisting you. You know, we've all waded through a creek or through a pool or the ocean or a river. We've waded through water, and we know this, that when you're wading through water, it's hard going. It takes twice as much energy to get half the distance. That's what he's talking about here. A waters kind of trial is when you experience a tedious, laborious, energy sapping. It's not something that's overwhelming, but it's vexing in that you feel like you're being resisted every step of the way. This is the kind of trial that tests and develops your endurance. And during this kind of trial, you're getting up every day. Here's what it's like. You're getting up every day and saying, wow, you know what? I don't really feel a whole lot. I'm not just burning up with zeal. This has been a struggle. The wind's been against me for a while. I got to put one foot in front of the other. The wind is not at your back. You're having to fight for every inch of ground you take. You say, didn't Jesus tell me to get into this boat and head this direction? Then why am I experiencing this resistance? Because he wants you to have endurance. Romans 5 verse 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, the waters kind of trial. Now, here's the promise. He says, in this kind of trial, I promise you, I will be with you. I will give you my presence. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Now, go back to the story of the disciples. Here they are, straining at their rowing. Their arms are aching. Their legs are tired. Their eyes are burning. They haven't had sleep. Suddenly, one of them sees something coming towards them on the water. And because it's a human being walking to them, but how can it be? Because it's a human being walking on the water. And they thought it was a ghost. The Greek is phantasm, a spirit. And they cried out, and Jesus said, don't be afraid. I'm here to give my presence to you. I see your struggle. Now look what they did. He didn't shout to them and say, hey, keep on rowing. I'm with you. No, but here's what it says. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. Jesus didn't just look at them struggling. He got into their problem with them. He got into their struggle with them. He got into their boat with them. When you're in a struggle, like a waters kind of trial, the best thing you can do is say, Jesus, if there's anything in my life blocking you, I repent because I need you in my boat right now more than any other time. And listen, when he gets in your boat, then he's the one who's got the power to bring the wind that is resisting you to a halt. Just like Jesus did with the disciples, when it's a waters kind of a trial, more times than not, he doesn't deliver you out of it. He walks through it with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because he wants us to learn to endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, I say to people, I say, God wants you to have a skin like a rhinoceros hide and a soft heart. We've got to be tough in these days of growing persecution, church. We can't be afraid of every little thing that comes against us. We need to be people who have been toughened and strengthened by enduring hardship. Now, there's a second kind of trial, and he called it the raging rivers. He said, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And again, David describes this raging river kind of a trial. He says in Psalms 124:4, a torrent would have overwhelmed us. The raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Now, I believe this kind of trial is spoken of metaphorically as a raging river because it's an overwhelming kind of a trial. See, if I'm going through where I'm just being resisted and I just need God's presence and I need his strength and I'm leaning on him, that's a tough trial, but that's not for me an overwhelming trial. An overwhelming trial is when several trials of a variety of kinds strike me all at once. When it seems like a trial comes from my right, and then another one comes from my left, and then one is coming at me, and then one is sneaking up behind me, and all of a sudden I'm surrounded by trials so that I feel overwhelmed. Some of you know exactly what that's like. And it seems to you that nothing is going right and everything is going wrong. This kind of trial is what happened in their second crossing. Because in Mark 4:35 says on the same day, here's another time Jesus said, get into the boat, let's go to the other side. He got in the boat with them. And on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And look what happened in verse 37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. This is the second kind of trial, the overwhelming trial. I can handle the tedium, but this overwhelming kind of trial is not only difficult, it's scary. You know what the disciples did. They cried out and they doubted his care. They didn't trust him. They said, Jesus, wake up, because he was asleep during their trial. You ever feel like Jesus was asleep in your trial? Have you ever looked up and said, where are you? What are you doing? How come you're not helping me? He was asleep in the helm of the boat. He wasn't in the least bit concerned about the storm. And they said, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus stood up. I picture him, oh, this is what's bugging you. And then Jesus, stop, you're blowing. Stop, waves, you're rolling. Amen. And then I believe their eyes were like 50-cent pieces, because all of a sudden the wind stopped and the waves calmed and they're on a placid sea. And they asked the million-dollar question, who is this man? And I believe that storm was custom designed to get them to ask the right question, because it was a rhetorical question. There was only one answer for it. Who is this man that even the winds and the sea obey him? He can't be a normal man. He can't be just any man. Only one kind of man can talk to nature and have it obey what he says. And that man has got to be the God man and the Son of God. It's got to be God wrapped in flesh. Only God can tell nature to stop, and nature obeys. And so they learn in the storm who it was. They were really following. Rivers kind of trials that seem like they're going to overwhelm you, God allows them so that you will learn who it is you're following. Because who it is you're following can speak to that wind and speak to those waters and tell them both to cease. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He walks on top of what is vexing you. He walks on top of your problem. He gives you the victory over what has vexed you and leads you in triumph always. The rivers kind of trials. Jacob responded this way when he was going through one. So many things have been going wrong. He said, all these things are against me. Job said, the terrors of God are marshaled against me. That's the voice and the statement of somebody going through a rivers kind of trial. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon talked about this kind of trial. He said, quote, accumulated distresses increase each other's weight. They play into each other's hands and, like bands of robbers, ruthlessly destroy our comfort. The rivers kind of trials.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you, too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website. lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
And you know what? It can be more than your circumstances, but you can have a rivers kind of trials in your own soul. Nobody sees it but you. Nobody knows it but you, because temptations can suddenly flood you from the enemy out of nowhere, and you can feel overwhelmed by the temptations of the flesh. Isaiah the prophet talked about when the enemy comes in like a flood. That's the rivers kind of trials. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. You know what that's telling us? God will give it boundaries. Now, that's my word today. I want you to understand, though you may be going through an overwhelming trial, look at what he says right here. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. That means he will give that thing a boundary. He will say to your trial, this far and no further. I've got my hand on the dial. I've already told the oceans of the world, the seas and the oceans, your waves can go thus far, but your waves can go no further. I put a limit and boundaries on the ocean, and I put a limit and boundaries on your trial. I say to your trials, this far and no further. That's why he says, they shall not overflow you. Boy, I love that. Let's try it together, personalize it. Say with me, they shall not overflow me. Because God puts boundaries on it. He won't let your trials overflow you so that your faith fails. He will not let your trials overflow you that they separate you from the love of God or destroy you. Can I encourage you a little bit today? Let me just share the word with you today. Listen to Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Not floods. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, that means he's saying I'm convinced by God that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities nor powers, that means no satanic demon, no satanic attack, no satanic assignment, shall be able to separate you. Not death or life, things present, things to come, not height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I will not let your trials overflow you. I will not let them engulf you. I will not let them drown you. And we can add, an overflowing, overwhelming flood of trials cannot separate us from the love of God, be they internal or external. Though they come near you and upon you and may greatly affect and distress you, yet they shall not hurt you, but will be made to work for your advantage. For God is with you to sympathize with you, to comfort and revive you, to teach you and instruct you through your afflictions. He takes what the enemy meant for evil and he works it together for your good. He makes all things work together for the good of those who love God and are the called according to his promise. He's there to support you and bear you up under them and deliver you out of them. He will not leave you in them. When everyone else walks out, he walks in. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. So we have tedious waters kind of trials and the raging river overwhelming kind of trial. And the last one is the worst one. It is. It's the fiery trial. Because waters threaten to overwhelm, but fiery trials threaten to consume. You get it? Amen. It's different. This is the most severe type of trial. Peter wrote concerning this kind of trial, "Dear friends, don't be bewildered or surprised when you go through the fiery trials ahead, for this is no strange, unusual thing that is going to happen to you." Peter, that's a bad confession. You shouldn't tell me that's going to happen to me. Well, he just did. Now, earlier on, he tells us the value of a fire trial. He says in chapter 1, verse 7, "The genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So get this, when we go through a fiery kind of trial that threatens literally to consume us and destroy us and take us off the map, he says, that fiery trial is going to try your faith like gold and silver is tried and refined and purified in the smelter's fire. Now, let me tell you what a goldsmith does. A goldsmith will take a gold brick and he will slide it into a raging hot oven. That gold brick looks as pure and beautiful and pristine as it possibly could. But when it gets into that fire, it melts. And as it melts, dark impurities that you never knew were there rise to the top. And he's got a little skimmer. And he puts that skimmer in there and he skims those impurities off the top that you did not know were there had it not gone through fire. And then he pulls that gold brick back out and lets it cool. And it has now become purified, perfect, clean gold. And that's the idea. When you go through a fiery trial, you will see that things come up out of you you did not know were there. Your spouse didn't know they were there. Your kids didn't know they were there. But God knew they were there, and they come up to the top, and God's Holy Ghost is right there with a skimmer. Shoo! God told Israel, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." In Deuteronomy 4:20, Moses tells the people, "But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace." Now here's the promise attached. And I love this promise. This is powerful. Here's the promise attached when you go through a fiery trial. He says, "I'm going to give you supernatural protection." Listen to what it promises. "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned." I'm going to read that again. "When you walk through fire, you will not be burned." Well, how can that be, Lord? That's impossible. That defies physics. Not if I'm with you. I'm going to be with you with divine, supernatural protection. The fire will not destroy you. When you go through a fiery trial, it won't incinerate you, and you won't combust. Now follow me, church. It gets better, because he promises further that you're not going to lose anything in the fiery trial but what needed to go in the first place. The only thing you're going to lose is what needed to go in the first place. The fiery trial is going to do you a favor, because that's what happens when that gold passes through the fire. The hidden impurities rise to the top. They're skimmed off by the smelter. Listen, the wading through water kind of trial tests your endurance. The overwhelming storm kind of trial tests your trust. But the fiery kind of trial tests your faith and burns out of your life things that need to go anyway. And I got to think of the three Hebrew children. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked king, built a statue to himself. He told the three Hebrew children and the whole nation of Babylon, "When the trumpets blow, you got to bow down and you got to worship my statue, the image of me. You can't worship your God, Hebrew children. You got to worship me." It was a testing time, a defining moment in their walk with God and their commitment to God. Do I bow to this idol? Do I give in? Do I cave in to a wicked culture? Or do I take my stand, let the chips fall? They said to the king, "O king, our God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, even if we go into that fire and are incinerated, know, O king, that we will not bow down and worship you." And it says he tied their hands and tied their feet. And I want you to listen how it describes. The Bible says they fell down bound. Everybody say with me, fell down bound. Into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. How'd they go down? Bound. What was their condition? Bound. But when Nebuchadnezzar walks up and he looks down in there, a while later, he sees not three but four, and they're walking around in the midst of the fire. And even that pagan king said, "That one looks like the Son of God, that fourth one." Now look what happened. He says, "Look, I see four men loose." How'd they go down? How'd they come out? Oh, we can do that one more time. How'd they go down? How'd they come out? How will you go down? How will you come out? That's the way it works. And I love it says, he also noted, they're not hurt. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. They weren't even touched by the flame, but the ropes that had bound them were burned off, and that's the only thing they lost was what had bound them. And how is it that we go through a fiery ordeal? And if we just stay in the Word and stay in prayer and trust our Savior, we come out on the other side, loosed, freer than before we went in. We come out more powerful, with greater anointing, with greater faith, with greater persuasiveness, with a stronger ministry, with more spiritual fruit. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed. What? They were in a barbecue, and even their hair wasn't singed. Their garments weren't burned. They didn't even smell like fire. Three kinds of trials, three promises. You in a trial today?
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before, or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.